Welcome to the CITL podcast series, sponsored by the Center for Interactive Teaching and Learning and the Teaching and Learning Center at Washtenaw Community College.
I'm your host, Nancy Collison, and today we have a couple guests, Doug Waters and Brenda Barnes.
Hi there, this is Doug Waters, business faculty at WCC, and right next to me is Brenda Barnes, instructional designer and jack-of-all-trades, Brenda Barnes.
Thanks for that introduction, Doug. Yes. Hello, everybody.
What was the topic of your presentation?
Using animated videos to create a unifying course theme. And so the idea came from my business law course. Originally, I wanted there to be some kind of theme that I could come back to week after week, some kind of scenario. And Cheryl Byrne kind of helped me map out the scenario, Cheryl Byrne being one of my amazing colleagues in the business department. And so my first thought was maybe I could get some students to help me with a skit. But then I approached some folks who teach film, and they get approached all the time for their acting students. It just seemed like a no-go. And then the then dean of business, Kim Hearns, who some people know around here, she told me, go see the online department because they can do amazing things. And so when I started developing business law online, they start telling me about this Go Animate software, and I originally started playing around with it, and I got in over my head a little bit, and then I met Brenda here, who's a power user with the software, and we worked it out where she would help me out, and just exceeded my expectations. So that was kind of what we presented at the Trends Conference, is how we made these videos happen, and then she's also worked on these videos in some other courses, so I can't just work with her exclusively, unfortunately. She has other clients now.
And the good part about working with Doug, especially how he approached us, is he came fully ready with the idea already in his head, right? So he had this script that was fleshed out. He knew ahead of time kind of what he wanted his characters to sound like, what he wanted them to look like, and that really helped out when it came to where he's just like, okay, I need this thing built for this class, and here's the script. So we were able to kind of like read through the script, get an idea of what was in his head, and then from that template, then we were able to go back and ask him questions. Okay, so we read through the script, and we've got an idea. So describe for us what you're thinking of as far as the characters. Because when you're working with a tool like Go Animate or any of those animation softwares, they've got tons of assets, and that's part of their strength, right? So you can go in, you can create these custom characters, you can kind of figure out what clothing they're wearing, what ethnicity, you can do the diversity. But in order to really bring to life Doug's story, we needed to first find out what was in his head. And so that's where we're like, okay, describe for us these characters that you have in mind and you kind of told us.
Yeah, for business law, I picked out two characters, former WCC students, and they were going to open up a sub sandwich shop and encounter all kinds of legal hurdles. And I just think back, I'm not a movie producer or script writer, but I think back to just watching cartoons. And I watch a lot of cartoons now because I have kids. And there's always like kind of a goofy character and a more serious character, and they kind of bring out the best or worst in each other. So for this script, I picked a very kind of studious, meticulous character named Emma, and paired her with just a kind of a slacker, kind of shoot from the hip character named Mike, and they were like an odd couple, and their kind of management style and personalities were not a good fit, and so that kind of led to some of their troubles. And Cheryl Byrne helped me kind of envision how many scenes we were going to have, and She also helps me just some of the lines I had in the script initially. Maybe they could be borderline offensive to 0.00001% of the students. So she just helped have another set of eyes to read through the scripts first. So that's always, that was the fun part for me, was just writing up the story. And then certainly what Brenda said, the software gives you a lot of options, but I don't recommend it for everyone if you don't have a Brenda on your team.
See, and so Doug's actually being modest, because the script he gave us was actually very detailed. So he had it laid out as if he was doing like a movie scene, and so that was kind of impressive, because sometimes you get these things where people are just kind of describing things off the top of their head. But really, him detailing out for us, okay, so Emma says this, or Mike says that, and then you put in parentheses, you know, maybe sarcastically. And so some of those cues helped us out so that he would put them in, pepper them through, but yet it gave us the freedom to actually add to it and to kind of stretch the storyline as well. And that was really good. So when he was describing the characters, and so we're just like, okay, so first we've got to have, you know, this kind of goofball character. And so you have the look and feel that you have to think about. So what do you want him to look? How do you want him to dress? But then you also have the voice that you want to do, because that was one of the things that Doug wanted to make sure that we have real live voices. Because with the software, you can have computer animated voices, or you can upload voices that you record offline, or you can even just record right there on the screen itself. And to make those characters come to life, we had to make sure we had like the right voice, and that's where we kind of talk about that. We elicited my daughter's husband, and we're like, yeah, you have that kind of slacker, laid back kind of voice, and that'll work perfectly. And it was kind of funny, because it sounds like it's an easy thing to do. Yeah, just read the script and act it out. But at first, he was really horrible. And that was kind of funny. He's just reading it kind of straight. And we're like, no. You got to act out the scene. And that helped as well with having Doug's script in front of us, so we could lay it out to our voice actors. No. You got to act out the scene. And in this scene, we want him to be kind of playful, you know, bumming around. And then from those voices, we would build like some of the scenes behind it that would actually kind of augment what the scene was. And
so did your voice talent, who were phenomenal, did you find that they were getting stage fright when they were doing the voices in front of each other? Did they have to go to separate rooms?
That's the funny part. It depended on who we got.
Okay.
So like my daughter, she did very well. Mm-hmm. But we had to have her husband practice quite a bit. But mm-hmm. once he finally got it, then they were actually able to work in the same room together. Mm-hmm. Some other voice actors that we had to bring on board, because later on, Doug got really crazy with the amount of characters. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our little tips there, is to kind of watch the amount of characters, because if you don't have a stable of people willing to do these voices, I mean, maybe you might have some students in your class that can give you some of that diversity or the range of the voices, but we had a hard time finding people who were willing to do voices, so I had to go to my brother who was in Florida, and then he recruited his wife to be another female character, and he kind of sent me the audio recording. I sent him the script, and he sent the audio, and then my brother's real animated, and so he did real well. And then he said, like, his wife had to practice a little bit, so it kind of varied.
Well, which characters did they do?
They were the second, my brother was the company
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I think in that corporate scene as well was his wife's voice. And then my daughter got some of her friends to do some of the other female voices and male voices.
Yeah, so at the Trends Conference, we were just presenting tips so that other faculty and instructional designers could pull this off for their courses. And so one of the tips was, like Brenda said, keep it simple. And I said, don't design more than three scenes. And if you're writing a script of dialogue, don't have the characters say huge paragraphs of information to each other. Try to keep it very conversational and short, because every page of dialogue between characters becomes like at least 2 minutes
right.
of video, and each minute of video is probably like a few hours at least worth of work. Maybe you can speak to how much work it is.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. And then, so like we would lay out our first pass, and even as I farmed off work to my daughter, and it's just like, yeah, you can learn the tool, get up and running, and she would do that first pass, and then from there we would do some of the tweaks, which is like when you talk about the amount of time, a lot of the time goes into actually tweaking the characters, and you actually have to stop yourself and say, okay, come on, I just gotta flush something out so I can see what it looks like, because the tool's pretty fun, and you can get lost into building your scenes, adding in pictures back behind you, or adding in props, or changing the look of the furniture, and you actually have to stop yourself and say, okay, I'm going to flush out this dialogue. And from there, we would look at it like, there's not enough action here, and what can we do from the script to actually add a little bit more movement to it, whether or not it's having the characters move and walk, or if it was throwing up scenes in the background, like I know you like with Mike bouncing the basketball when he's talking, or we'd have them imagine themselves someplace else. It's just little movements we would do in the scene to keep it so that it seemed like it was alive, and it's not just a flat, two-dimensional picture of two characters talking. We would make sure that periodically we have a lot of movement in it, and that kind of kept it alive and fresh.
Yeah, and I enjoyed all the little extras that Brenda and her daughter added to the script, just kind of ad-libbing. It really made it come to life. And I was glad that we could present outside of the campus, because I don't have to see those people ever again. But here, if I were presenting to faculty about this, they might be tempted to think that it's easy and that it could just happen overnight, and I think they would be kind of disappointed, because it's a lot of work. So you really need to have a Brenda or two at each campus to, you know, someone who's played around with the software. And so, and I think Washtenaw has a phenomenal instructional design team. You go to other colleges and you might have one or two people for the whole online department, and that's been my experience working at another community college, and so it's more faculty driven. But here we do have resources, so we could present at the conference and give them these bold ideas, but will they be able to pull it off? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think they would in snippets, because some of the people that were coming up afterwards, they mentioned that as far as not having the team, or you guys are so lucky to have a team behind you to kind of help out, to bounce ideas, or even to do some of these creative aspects. But it seemed like others, though, even though that they might not have the same resources, really liked the creative aspect of being able to use a tool like this and to bring some of their scenarios to life. And you can actually do that with building small snippets. Remember, some of the ladies had ideas in the background about, well, maybe do it for a knowledge check. It's a way to illustrate a simple scenario that you can then throw up some questions afterwards, as opposed to read this story and then answer these discussion boards. Maybe it's a tool that they could use to throw up a small, little, simple scenario that would be easy for them to build, even if they didn't have like a lot of extra time or a lot of extra resources in order to flesh out a full storyline. Maybe they can probably do just small different types of stories that they can use in different ways. And I thought some of those ideas were pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I found that having these videos created for my course, I could use them on campus. And anytime as an instructor teaching on campus, you can lecture without lecturing. Just makes the class, just helps your students to engage with you more and not fall asleep. So I could take the same bullet points of information I want to present to my class with a set of PowerPoint slides, but instead I could show them these videos that make similar points, and then we can have a class discussion from it, and then the students really kind of get into it, and they laugh a little bit about the videos. So it's a wonderful teaching tool, not just for online, but also for on campus. And because these scenes have already been created, I'm not reinventing the wheel over and over again every semester. I just play the video, and we have class discussion about it, and 30 minutes of fun instead of 30 minutes of them listening to me lecture the boring PowerPoint slide.
That's actually a great point, because there's even been some other animations that we've built for other different class types, some of our criminal justice class, and then they say that same use case right there, that even though we build these assets for their online courses, they bring them into their face-to-face courses, and they just might show small snippets of it or this certain aspect of it that might be easier for the students to see the visualization or the story mm-hmm. of it in the animation, and then they would have the discussions about it. And then, like you were saying, they wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel. They could reuse these same assets that they built for the online class in the face-to-face, show it for the student, and then have those discussions around it afterwards. And so you're absolutely right. These are actually very good tools to use for your face-to-face courses as well.
Well, I am out of ideas now.
So we talked a bit about what your students felt about it. Did you get any feedback from them? Like, did your students speak about them at all? Or just sort of you felt like they were more engaged? Or
yeah, initially putting the videos in the course, I noticed in the student surveys at the end of the semester some little comments here and there, like I enjoyed watching the videos. For my second set of videos in another course, mostly the same thing happened. People enjoy watching it. I've only had like one bad comment, and that was from a student who just said, "I can't figure out what these videos are for," and I just want to answer it and just say it's more like comic relief, because online the students are used to just taking quizzes, writing discussion board posts, and I thought the videos, even if they're not an integral part of the course, they're just something to break up the monotony of just these common tasks that you do in an online course.
Yeah, and we've sort of got similar feedback from the other courses that we've deployed these in as well. For the most part, yeah, they're positive from the students, and they'll occasionally send me some email where the students said, "Yes, you know, I really loved the videos. They were fun," mm-hmm. and any of the negatives would be because in some courses they actually like to use the robot or the computerized voices only because there is a variety of accents. So mm-hmm. like there's a British accent, and then there's some other types of accents that we haven't been able to incorporate getting those type of live, real voices. And so you'll get an occasional student that's like, "I hate the computerized voices." And mm-hmm. so that's a consideration as well, where there'll be some others that just like, yeah, love the animations or the videos. They were able to break up the materials, as you were talking about, as opposed to just reading information or just watching a lecture. It was able to kind of break it up.
Yeah, and it's funny, like when you do new things in a course that's not traditional, when students aren't falling asleep on their desk, it's equivalent to getting a standing ovation, because they will let you know when they're bored or they're not engaged, but when they're actually engaged in a class discussion, that's just equivalent of them giving you a high five when they walk in the door. So just subtle cues from students go a long way.
Yeah. And I think that there's, in addition to the storyline that you had that was using the same central characters and then having an overall storyline that went all the way throughout the entire course, that there's been other ways. I kind of mentioned sometimes people use these animated videos for like just do a quick little scenario that they would build a knowledge check around, or a quick little scenario that they'll do a quiz. So now answer these questions or have this type of discussion. Some other examples I've kind of seen, which I thought was pretty smart, is we actually had an instructor build out their course syllabus with it. So they used the little animated characters, and they're actually, okay, this is going to be a 12-week course, and what's expected of you is it's going to move fast, and you got to make sure. And they actually built their introduction to their online course using this tool because they found it was pretty easy, and they could just throw the characters and put the dialogue behind the characters and then bring in the assets that talked about the course being a 12-week course, or that it was going to require the student to do this amount of work and make sure you're prepared and that kind of thing. So that was a pretty fun project that we saw an instructor actually build. And another example is like our pharmacy gals would actually have their student workers use the tool, and they would build various components of that pharmacy course. And so they actually had a couple of descriptions of drug products or whatever that they threw in a couple of these animated videos to do. And so there's a variety of, I guess, different techniques that you can kind of use to kind of break up the materials and still have a little bit of fun with the mm-hmm. animated characters. And our criminal justice used it for difficult conversations as well. So, for example, there's a scenario of, and I showed that at the trends, where she's asking, well, it was an ethics class, criminal ethics, and the ethics would be like a driver that was actually speeding, and the police was going to give him a warning, but then the driver character just started cursing out the police, and then it was accusing him of being unfair because, one, he was jealous of his car, the Porsche, and then, two, he was unfair because he was black, and that's the only reason why he pulled him over. And then the ethics at the end was like, okay, what would you do if you were that police officer? Are you still going to give him a warning, or are you now going to give him a ticket? And so in that way, they were able to present this little bit of a controversial scene, but using animated characters, and then throw up the questions afterwards, what would you do? How would you solve this? And so there was a couple of different scenarios in those criminal justice classes that we would use animated videos to illustrate the scenario and then throw the questions up for the students to answer afterwards.
Yeah, that's always most effective if you're writing a script or an idea to build these scenes. It's just like, what are these big picture scenarios that will go with your learning objectives in the course, and just use these this software to kind of touch upon that. And you don't have to, doesn't have to be the most creative story in the world, but just think about like what are some common things. So obviously with criminal justice, just think about common ways in which people get arrested and go from there.
Yeah, and I see a value add to what you had just said too, is just comic relief. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it doesn't have to be a critical problem that you're trying to solve. I don't think so. I think student engagement is just as important as critical need. Mm-hmm. So to just even have something a little bit fun in your class that wakes the student up or makes them chuckle a little bit. So you got mm-hmm. quite a few because of your descripting and your dialogue. You got quite a few of chuckles in the audience. Just that type of feedback helps, I think, the student learn, because it frees their minds up, because it just kind of opens up the atmosphere for a little bit more of a lighthearted dialogue or conversation.
Yeah, because business law, people come in and perceive it to be maybe kind of a dry class. So anything I can do, show a cheesy video or crack a cheesy joke just to get them a little bit more excitable, then maybe their perception of the material will change. So the videos definitely have helped that. And now if you poll the average WCC business student, they're going to say business law is the most interesting course there is.
Of course. Yes.
So now you talk about the videos all within one course. Are you doing any across a series of courses in the same topic, the subject area? Or is this...
We did it for business law, and then another series of videos in intro to business. I think that's all there is for now, unless I can hire Brenda again. But that, I might not be able to afford her anymore.
And to that question, our criminal justice had it in a series of courses. But in that case, it wasn't necessarily one cohesive storyline as Doug used in his. It might be that we use the animated videos to become an animated lecture. or like I said, in some of the ethics course, they were used to do short scenarios that a student didn't have to do the discussion questions out of. And so in those courses, we used a variety of techniques. Even though we were using the same tool, we used them in different ways, whether or not it was a matter of the instructor recorded the audio voice, and then I just used the animated tools to actually bring in the visuals. And maybe I put him in as a character occasionally just to make that lecture a little bit different than him recording the lecture in some other ways, just to give a different variety of what the student would see in the online class.
So how do you feel that it was received at the Trends Conference? Were people like really impressed with it? They hadn't thought about it before? Or do they want to do this themselves? Or how do you think that turned out? How do you think that went?
What do you think?
I think it went well. I think it did go well. We got a lot of great interaction throughout. And then, like I mentioned, afterwards, quite a few came up asking additional questions, and they were really engaged with how to. So it was engagement on both parts as far as from the instructor standpoint and the pedagogy. What were you doing? Why did you do it? And what ways can we do it? They were really trying to see how they can do it, as well as from the technical aspect. Okay, so now what were the technical logistics to do it as far as getting voices? What equipment do I need in order to do the audio? And gave little tips there as far as make sure you're in a small room so you don't have this echoing. Do the best audio you can from the beginning. And we got the gamut of questions. And so I thought that they were really, really interested in using something like this. And whether or not it's this tool or some other tools, because there's a lot of animated video tools. And we actually had a list of some others that they could kind of research that were in a different price line. And so that they would be able to see different price structures. Maybe something else will work better for them or for their budget, and they were really interested in that as well.
Yeah, I was thrilled with the turnout because we presented the last day of the conference when some people are probably already leaving early, and of course there were other workshops going on at the same time. So the room we had, I would say we maybe had 20 to 30 people in there, and there were lots of questions, and kind of joked with Brenda beforehand, I either want to have a lot of people or no people so we don't have to present at all. And we got, you know, obviously a lot of people, and the room was fairly packed out, and lots of good questions that kept us going. They gave us an hour and 15 minute time slot, and at first I was just like, how are we going to fill all that time? But they just kept throwing questions at us, so there were no like awkward silences or anything.
Yeah, so we think it went pretty well.
Excellent. You think that these can be used for different things like spark discussion, assessment, just better understanding overall, practice? What do you feel are the best use cases for these, or do you think all of those are use cases for these?
For me, I've always thought of them as icebreakers. It could be like, so last week, you know, the characters were doing this and they had this problem. Let's fast forward to what's going on this week. And it's just a way for me to tie, because I'm teaching these survey courses where we're not spending a whole lot of time on any given topic. We might spend a week on intellectual property and then we're on to the contracts or whatever. And it just kind of ties everything together and keeps things fresh. But certainly you can do assessment or anything with them, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do, yeah. I think, like you're saying, it's all of the above, especially if you wanted to present, like, a scenario. Then it's really nice there, or it might be good to have to put it up there and then have the questions afterwards. So based on what you saw, then answer these questions. So we've used it like that, and I kind of mentioned earlier, we've used it for just doing an animated lecture, as we kind of call it. It was just a regular lecture, but the visuals then made it so that it's not just the instructor talking, but now you have these visuals as well as the actions of the characters and the different sceneries going on as well. And so I think it can be, like you kind of mentioned, it could be used as an icebreaker in the beginning. It could be used to say, hey, welcome to my course. A nice welcome, an introduction. It could be used for discussions, as a basis for discussions. Or you throw it in there to do an assessment, whether or not it's for a quiz or a test. And also, which was some of the tools that I was trying to look up and present to the crowd there at Trends, some of the different vendors have it so you can have an account where the teacher has an account, and then you could give licenses to your students. And if you get a license like that, then maybe it's a tool that you can kind of use in a reverse kind of way, and you can give your students, because it's a very easy to use tool. Like I mentioned, the pharmacy had their student workers, and they loved it. I just gave them a license, and they didn't even ask no questions, because there's a lot of tutorials, and they would just come back and have something built. So the students love these kind of tools. So maybe as a teacher, you just have your teacher account, and you give it to your students, and now maybe they can build a portfolio for you, or they can build some type of presentation using that type of tool. So that's another way that you can use it, which we haven't quite done here, but I think that would be an interesting type of use case to try to follow up on and see, okay, if you give that out to your students, what will they build if they've got to present something, or if they've got something that they need to build as a portfolio? I think that would be a fun way to use it also.
Sponsored by the Center for Interactive Teaching and Learning and the Teaching and Learning Center at Washtenaw Community College.